books and arts.
Art and injustice. Vengeance is hers. Failed by the law, wronged women are taking justice into their own hands in a modern breed of revenge drama.
He does not recognize her and protests only gently when she handcuffs him to the bed. He is enjoying his bachelor weekend and assumes that this woman, in her short, tight nurse's costume, is a stripper ordered for the festivities. While she assembles her props, she reminisces about her best friend, Nina, whom the man raped at a party when they were students and who later committed suicide. The man begins to panic, denying that the crime ever took place. "It's every guy's worst nightmare, getting accused like that," he protests. "Can you guess what every woman's worst nightmare is?" his captor retorts, before reaching into her medical bag and producing a scalpel. Cassie, Carey Mulligan, the protagonist of Promising Young Woman, which had its premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in January, has been trying to avenge her friend's assault for almost a decade. She began by going to bars, acting as if she were too drunk to stand, and waiting for a nice guy to take her home before shaming them for their predatory behaviour. Then, hearing that Nina's rapist has returned to their college town to get married, Cassie sets about targeting everyone she considers responsible for her death. A friend who was dismissive of her experience, the university official who felt there wasn't sufficient evidence to take action, the lawyer who bullied Nina until she dropped her case, and ultimately, the attacker himself. Promising Young Woman is the latest in a spate of recent films, plays, and television series that depict women taking revenge for wrongs committed against them. Like other crime dramas, several of these narratives focus on sexual abuse, only now the women are more than ornamental corpses. Sweet Vicious, a television show, follows two students turned vigilantes as they hunt down young men who have carried out sexual assaults on campus. The protagonist of MFA, a feature film, goes on a spree murdering college rapists after accidentally killing her own attacker in self-defense. Some of these stories have unfolded in the past, such as The Nightingale, a film set in colonial Tasmania during the 1820s. Others are modern retellings of old tales, such as Women Beware Women, a play of 1623 by Thomas Middleton that was recently produced at the Globe Theatre in London, in which a powerful duke sexually assaults a young bride. Separately, Middleton's work has been reimagined by Simon Stone, an Australian theatre director, for The Revenge Trilogy, performed at the Théâtre de l'Odéon in Paris last year, which also adapted scripts by William Rowley, The Changeling, William Shakespeare, Titus Andronicus, and John Ford, Tis Pity She's a Whore. Despite their varied milieus, all these productions are concerned with sex, power, and its misuse. Other modern revenge dramas portray different types of abuse. In Judy and Punch, a film about the puppeteers who gave their names to their famous creations, Punch is a drunk who beats Judy and leaves her for dead. An adaptation of Medea, in which a woman wreaks a terrible punishment on the man who abandoned her, reworked by Mr. Stone from Euripides' tragedy, recently closed in New York following runs in Amsterdam, Madrid, and London. A new version of The Visit by Tony Kushner, a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, was on at the National Theatre in London before COVID-19 struck. The main character was impregnated as a teenager and cast out of her hometown. Decades later, she returns as the world's wealthiest woman, promising to enrich the locals in exchange for her old lover's life. This boom in fictional retribution follows a historical pattern. Though revenge has inspired dramatists for millennia, the theme is especially popular in times of political and social upheaval, when attitudes to power and justice are in flux. Revenge became a central theme in Greek tragedy at a time when Athenian law courts were heatedly debating questions about causation, responsibility, and guilt, says Tanya Pollard of Brooklyn College. Aeschylus and others started wrestling with questions about how to assign blame and mete out punishment to stop cycles of violence. In early modern Britain, when Middleton and his contemporaries were at work, the law was changed from a system of private redress to one administered centrally. Emma Smith of Oxford University says the period saw a huge amount of litigation, particularly relating to personal grievances, such as ownership rights. Yet old habits, such as duelling, persisted in real life and on stage, as did doubts over the law's fairness to ordinary people. From the 1950s onwards, as war, protests, and scandal increased scepticism of authority among American audiences, they came to love cowboys and mafiosi who took the law into their own hands. In Britain, meanwhile, revenge plays were frequently staged during the industrial unrest of the late 1970s. Others were inspired by the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Another kind of injustice and indignation is galvanizing storytellers now. As prominent court cases have highlighted the difficulties of prosecuting sexual crimes, and as patience with the system runs out, wronged female characters have assumed the Avengers' mantle. If the law is ineffective, the rough justice of vigilantes has its appeal, says John Kerrigan of Cambridge University. In this genre, women make compelling heroes, Mr. Kerrigan thinks, because they are more often denied justice along official channels dominated by men and the interests of power. The women in these stories turn to revenge only after they are failed by the institutions supposed to protect them. Legitimate recourse against Punch is denied to Judy in a town ruled by the mob. In The Visit, Claire takes Alfred, the father of her child, to court to establish paternity. He pays his friends to testify that she was promiscuous. After she gains her fortune, she hires the judge who presided over the case to work as her butler, a symbolic confirmation that justice can be bought. Jeremy Herrin, the director, says the drama explores what happens when trauma is left to fester without resolution. Similarly, the assaults in MFA and Promising Young Woman are reported to a university official, in both cases a woman, who does nothing. I kept seeing a lot of the same story in the news, says Leah McKendrick, the writer of MFA. A young female is raped on a college campus, she's brave enough to report it, and is treated like a liar and a gossip and a problem. She began work on the film in 2014 in pursuit of some fantastical justice. It was released just as Harvey Weinstein's depredations began to be exposed. For anyone who's felt outraged at being treated unfairly, says Ms. Pollard, the academic, it can be cathartic to cheer on a fictional surrogate who's licensed to act out our grievances. But like the Me Too movement with which the genre has coincided, these feminist revenge dramas are less interested in vanquishing a single bad guy than in purging a rotten system. And like the most enduring Avengers of previous eras, the best new stories feel both acutely contemporary and ageless. There are elements to Promising Young Woman that are timely. Emerald Fennell, the writer and director of the film, has said, "All the same, women have been talking about these issues for many, many centuries."